So, Mahin, tell us a bit about your background. Tell the folk here where you're from. Are you from? Were you born here?
I was born in Pakistan, and I was raised by a Muslim family. And before we start that, as I was praying about the, well, this is not my testimony. This is God's testimony, and His name has to be glorified. And this is His showing Himself to me. Can I ask before that, has anybody been lost while driving? Hands up. Okay. How would you feel that while you're lost, you see another person who is lost and you get more lost? So that was my situation when I was born in a Muslim family. Looking back at my life now, I was so lost that, you know, the book I was reading, the holy book as a Muslim, I didn't know the meaning of that. But I was reading because they say you will get blessing for each and every alphabet you read. So my parents taught me a language which I could pick up without understanding what it says. So you can imagine how lost I was. But I didn't realize it. So I think the journey, again, began a long time ago. Although I was doing all the Muslim rituals, there was some burning sort of desire in me that something is wrong. I mean, you can do rituals, you can have fasting, or you can listen to these people, but there was something wrong. I didn't know what it was. And I started doing every ritual because I saw my parents doing it, and probably they saw it through their parents. And but the problem is, you since morning till evening, you're like a... How should I say, like a slave who is obeying the unseen master, who is not going to give you any happiness or any credit or love, but he's going to get you like a policeman if you do anything wrong. So I thought, that cannot be a God. I mean, you know, funny enough, my father was a harsh man. And when I heard about the Heavenly Father, I thought, oh my God, no. Christianity is not my cup of tea anyways, because I don't need another father. So you know, but I think again, this also is a big message for all intellectual people who are holding their intellect, not accepting Christ. So it's a big dilemma to accept Christ. And you know, if you will bring your intellect or doubt to accept Him, you will never be able to see Him. He is a loving God whose main job is to love you. He is a Heavenly Father whose job is to be like a loving Father. He does not want you to do this or do that, as I was doing when I was lost. But He says, I like you the way you are. You know, He does not want you to sort of do ablution or, you know, face a specific way and have a little mat which, you know, should be clean enough and all that. He just said, pray to me and I will listen to you. And I think that's amazing.
So you grew up in Pakistan and you studied in Pakistan.
Yes, okay. Yes.
And then when did you come to this country?
I came to this country, well, initially in 1993, but then I had to go back twice because my parents were not well and they had cancer one after the other. But yeah, so... Okay.
And then what profession? Tell us about the profession. You tell us about your education and the...
Well, I had my basic education in the medical school back home and did my sort of initial practice there. But when I came to this country, I had to start from scratch. I had to prepare the English exam and, you know, the registration exam and all that. So it was quite difficult.
Okay. And so you were still a member of the Muslim faith, you'd say?
I was a member of the Muslim faith. I was like St. Paul, going onto the YouTube, getting things from the YouTube and throwing at the Christians, saying, you know, when I saw the pastor saying, you know, my Lord tells me this and my Lord tells me that, I said, no Lord speaks to anybody. You know, I've been there. So for show business, these people can do anything. And I think when Lord spoke to me, I was crying like a baby, you know, because I knew that it was Him speaking to me. But the most interesting thing is, I don't know whether any of you believe in dreams, but the very first dream I had was that I'm climbing the stairs and they're going nowhere. And in my heart I'm saying, I need to go to the sixth floor. But there was no sixth floor, because as you climbed the 10 stairs, there were another 10. And it went on and on. You know, I was getting tired. And suddenly there's light. And a voice says, if you want to go to the sixth floor, just go all the way back down. And there's a road which goes straight to the sixth floor, or stairs, or whatever. So I woke up, 3 o'clock in the morning, thinking, what is this? But my mind was telling me, whatever it is true. And I think by the time the next day came, I was very clear that whatever I was doing is wrong. And there is something else which is quite straightforward, and it will take me straight to where I want to go. And funny enough,
so it wasn't intellectual kind of argument. It wasn't
intellectual kind of argument.
It wasn't a theological kind of, you know.
No. I mean, at that stage,
contact.
Yes. And before that, as I said, I was persecuting Christians. You know, debating them, emailing them, and texting them. You know, you guys need to, you know, get a grip. No man can be God. But that was part of that was my own intellectual being. How can a human being be God? But can I ask anybody, if Jesus would not have come in the form of a human, how would you have perceived it? My limitations are seeing, hearing, tasting, touching. If you can't do that, how is he going to communicate with you? So I think, again, you know, going back to the fact that do not bring your intellectual fact as a biggest doubt just to miss out a life of eternity, and a love which is endless. Then I heard Jesus claiming that I give water which will never make you thirsty. Can you imagine that? It's amazing. And when I got that water, honestly, that thirst and burning I had inside, that just went away. It's just, I didn't know. I was as if I owe the whole world, and I'm the owner of the whole world. I have everything. Yeah, that was the feeling, you know. And sometimes I used to look at my feet. Am I walking on the ground or am I flying, you know? It's indescribable. I thought initially when I came to Christ, do I need to go and see a psychiatrist? You know, because things were happening which were unexplainable, and I thought, I'm gone crazy. You know? But I think slowly and gradually God steers you to his love. And if you ask me one word to describe God, that's his love. No rituals, nothing. Just the way you are, he loves you the way you are. And I think if there is anything holding you back from accepting Christ, or if there is any doubt, just sit down and think that thought and bring it to the God and say, please help me. I don't know anything. If you are there, just communicate with me, which I did. You know, I had a simple prayer. But then there was a time when I thought Islam was not my cup of tea then. There was a time I was an atheist for about a couple of months. And then that funny thing happened was that I thought, I'm going to leave Islam. But I thought, accepting Islam was like living with a roommate. And you know, I thought, I've been living here quite some time. So, you know, it's good to give them some sort of, you know, a notice or a warning. So I said to them for 3 days, 3 days, 72 hours. I said, look, I've been living with you for a long time, and I'm going to leave now. I'm packed up because I've found some love which is, you know, amazing, indescribable. And, you know, I wanted that God of Islam to bring me some sort of, you know, sign or anything which would let me think again so that, you know, I can... stop thinking of leaving. But nothing happened. And that prevented me from doing the prayer of confession. Instead of 25th of December, I had to do it on the 28th. But I did it over the phone, 2007. And the next year, 9th of March, 2008, I was baptized. I mean, God has steered me through his journey amazingly. I haven't done anything for it, trust me. He has come to me. Only thing I did was I opened the door. Yes, I did that. And he came in. And the first feeling was just indescribable love. You know, a breath of fresh air. You know? So my message to all the young people and everybody who is really, really, really not trying to understand God is just don't antagonize it. Just sit down and ask for him to come into your life and guide you.
Mahin, tell us what impact, you've shared your own story, but tell us what impact you coming to faith had on or the involvement with your family.
So when I was preaching Islam, I preached 7 or 8 people to be ritualistic Muslims when I came to this country. And the reason I did that was because once I was in an aeroplane and I was reading my holy book when I was a Muslim, and somebody said, "Oh, that's Arabic, isn't it?" And I said, "Yes." "So you know Arabic?" I said, "No." He said, "What do you mean? You're reading Arabic and you don't know Arabic?" I said, "This is my holy book. I know it by heart, or, you know, I can just read it, but I don't know what it says." And they were like very surprised. So that thought gave me a thought that I should read my holy book in a language which I understand. So I came back and I bought the Quran in English. And I started reading it, and that is where my journey started. I thought, what is this? What have I been reading all my life? It made no sense, trust me. And I think that's the first time my eyes were opened, basically. Yeah. And, you know, the journey where I was lost, I first time saw the map, and I thought, my God, I've been following a wrong map. You know. Yeah. And then I preached Islam to you know... about 7 people, including my family. But you know, God wanted to show his power. All 7 of them have been baptized, you know. And 2 of them are lay pastors, you know. So I think God is telling me again and again, through his love and very gentle way, that, you know, I am the God. I am the true God. And you need to follow me. And he's not saying, look, do this, do that, or whatever. But he just says, just relish in my love. And that's what is the message. Just let your guards down and just pray to him that come into my life, and he will come into your life. Just open the door. Just imagine the humbleness of God, that he who has put the stars and he knows them by name, he's just standing outside your door. He's not forcing it. He's letting you to decide to let him in.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.